Hi, welcome to Greek Tragedy. It's psychology without the science, so it's philosophy. Today I'm here with
Hannah again.
Again. If you didn't get the rundown, she is a...
I am an 18-year-old Jew in Los Angeles.
I am also a Jew in Los Angeles. Anyways, this is kind of a fun topic because the other day, a friend of mine called me and was like asking me about the earlier philosophers, the philosophers of the Western philosophy, should I say, or like the starters of the Western philosophy, Socrates, Aristotle, Socrates. I say Socrates. I don't, my professor keeps saying Socrates, so it's now embedded in my head that it's Socrates, but maybe it's Socrates and Plato. And he was kind of asking me about them, and I didn't really know how to respond because I've never spent much time researching them. I feel like I find more fun researching like modern philosophy, especially like progressive philosophy too. But what I kind of did know about them and what I kind of stem from them from my philosophy class that I took last quarter is that, or like last semester, same thing, is that they kind of were elitist. And that to me is a very fun topic to tackle just because I feel like that's a topic that's not really handled really well. More progressive people lean to it. So I feel like there's a lot of conversation to that with the progressive people that I talk with, the progressive person that I am. We talk about elitism, but not a lot of like average people know what that is. And I think that's because the elitists don't want people to know that there is elitism in the world. And the reason I say that they are elitists is because there's kind of like this hierarchy and this like elite power, may I say, that they hold when they make schools. Whatever. And I don't know if you know anything about elitism. I think I talked about it at the dinner table at your house once, and everybody was like super confused. They were like, what is she talking about?
I really don't. I mean, you are much more of a philosopher than I, because mm-hmm. I do stem from the psychology aspect of philosophy,
which is good because we have like the balance of like,
yeah, the range of the science,
the range of the sciences.
It's philosophy, it's psychology without the science.
Yeah.
So I go towards the psychology of things, and I don't know. I know that they were all really old and they started bringing up thought, and they were like, why do we do these things? And everyone was like, you're smart. Like,
yeah, exactly,
we should listen to you.
Yeah. That's a really good point. I feel like the basic rundown of elitism that I can kind of bring is that it's kind of like the top 1%, the people in power, and the algorithmic people in power, like the algorithm kind of, because the algorithm kind of feeds what you want to hear or what they want you to hear, and they kind of power that. And obviously there's an agenda in place, and there's a bias agenda in place. So if you're not familiar with the big three of early Greek philosophy, we have Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle. If you would like to go over the rundown of Socrates, you're more than welcome to.
Yeah, so I'll read it. I mean, I'll just like study the lives of everyone, what people should aim for, and how to live. He developed the Socrates method to answer questions, and he died, but people in ancient Greece were threatened by him. Elmeo. I guess, I don't know. I mean, I know that when we look at history, people look at it with, like, a biased perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people say that they, you know, don't like people that tell, like, you what to do, well, you can't be that person.
Yeah.
Which is totally fair. I don't really...
No, he was... What's interesting about Socrates is that I feel like he was... the more, I don't want to say normal, but the more, like, justice-worried philosopher out of all of them. He never wrote anything, too, and most of what we know about him is because of others writing from him, such as Plato, his student. He also was more on the focusing of the development rather than the materialistic things in life to satisfy individuals. So he was definitely kind of like Frankl in a sense, because he was kind of talking about like the meaning of life way before. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like out of all three, he's the least elite, which makes me kind of happy because I do not like the elitism or wherever it is. Plato was a student of Socrates. He was the one who wrote about Socrates. And he was actually the first person to form the first ever university, the Academy. Mm-hmm. And Plato, I think he's elitist because he thought if someone was to be given kingship, like this kind of ruling thing, they should have to be a philosopher first. So it's kind of like elitism where it's like this like step background check, this like requirement, you know, like to become something. Kind of thing. Yeah, but he's more talking about like if you want to be like powerful, if you want to be worthy of being a ruler, you have to be a philosopher. But in order to be a philosopher, you need to have, you know, teachings, educators, and a lot of people in the ancient Greeks, in the ancient Greek era, couldn't afford that. Like that was a very expensive commodity. That was a sign of wealth. And it's like, what if you don't have the facilities to become a philosopher? Like, mm-hmm. you can't be a ruler? Like, that to me just sounds super elitist and super, like, putting in barricades because, oh, you can't do this because you're poor. And I don't know. I just don't like that. And it's super unfair to the unprivileged such as them.
I mean, I know that slaves in America before the Civil War were not allowed to be taught how to read. Because if they could read, they could read the Bible and read the story of the Jews, how they were liberated. Mm-hmm. And so I know that they were limited in that aspect. Because if they knew that they had a way out, they would rebel.
Yeah.
And so I think that when people talk about disadvantages and monetary values, especially in the United States, it definitely does put you like at a disadvantage like that.
Of course, no. Like, that's like a great example of elitism and how they kind of... We don't really know, but, like, they kind of fed that into, like, many systems, too, in my opinion, at least. Yeah. And to me, I think that's very messed up. First of all, racism is a whole entire other spectrum that is just disgusting and absolutely, I don't even have words for it. Just disgusting. And what happened to the slaves was absolutely disgusting when they were first brought to America. But that kind of just shows that there's always been this power structure. And this famous author, one of my favorite authors, Audre Lorde, she's a philosopher. She was a civil rights activist. Amazing woman. She says, the master's tools will never dismantle the house. And it's like they give you these tools that you can't take down the system with, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, why would they give you, like, the tools to end their teachings or end, like, the status quo?
To restrict them.
Yeah. Restrict them, yeah. I don't know. I just feel like it's a lot about elitism, this power structure. And I think if you are going to be a ruler, shouldn't it be based on your ethics and morality rather than your qualifications? Because let's be real here, like, not everybody can get that qualification, but what if they were raised with like good morals and good ethics? Every king should be a philosopher or else they were unworthy of the position is what Plato thought, and I don't think that's right to put into terms with that, because every king was also rich, and every king also had the facility to grasp education, to be taught by these philosophers, and it's putting these other people at an advantage.
Right. I mean, I'm kind of thinking about what Socrates did, because they said that he would go around the town, like, asking people questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wanted to see, like, what the elite and common man would, how they would answer them, and he wanted to, like, see how people thought about, like, political and ethical truths. We talked about truths last time, but, like, everyone has their own perspective based on their, like, based on their environment.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he was going around asking people things, I guess everyone's answer is different, and their like train of thought is different.
Yeah, no, definitely. I have a little bit more respect for Socrates more than I do with Plato, especially because I feel like once you go down the line of like Plato and Aristotle, they definitely feed into elitism. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Aristotle, Aristotle, rundown of him, is he went to Plato's Academy, had teachers growing up, so also very wealthy in education and money. And then, I don't know if you know who Alexander the Great is, but he actually was the tutor for Alexander the Great on how to be a good leader, which I think is crazy.
That's really interesting.
Because it's, like, it's weird. You, like, learn about, like, all these things, and you don't expect that these timelines would add up, but they do. he created this thing, this concept, I shouldn't say thing, this concept called the mean. And the mean was a way for people to behave without crossing any lines or bad behaviors. And he wrote about how these people should operate, which to me is like, why are you teaching somebody how to operate? Like, what makes you better than the average folk?
Yeah. And I think that society deems those people better.
Exactly. And it's like, what classifications do you have other than being super rich?
You're clouded, dog.
Yeah, you're clouded. But it's like, if we go off the people who are rich and then teaching other people how to be rich, like, that's, first of all, very elitist. And also, why would they tell you how to be rich? Like, wouldn't they just want to keep the power structure to themselves? That's why I'm, like, so weirded out when, like, these, on TikTok, these finance guys are like, invest in this. It's like, why are you teaching people how to be rich? Like, wouldn't you want to keep that all for yourself?
No, I agree. Also, another thing that I will say, it's kind of different, but, like, when people say that, like, Bill Gates and all of these, like, Elon Musk, these top guys are trillionaires, it's not that they have $1 trillion in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Like, none of it is liquid.
Yeah.
And they spend on whatever they want to spend it on. But when people say that their net worth, it's very different from out-of-pocket cash.
Yeah, exactly.
And so when people say that they're, like, the richest men of our generation or whatever, like, they are, but they do invest. And they just have a mind for business and predicting how the markets will flow.
But that being said, they do have an advantage because they do have that wealth. Like, I don't know. I feel like with them especially, they have this, like, agenda to keep a status quo, to keep themselves in, like, power in this higher position. So they do have an advantage from, like, the average day person, which I feel like a lot of people don't talk about. Actually, no, I feel like people talk about it, but just don't really talk about it at the same time. I don't know.
Yeah. They do definitely have the advantage over someone, I mean, in Los Angeles that
is like, like a struggling musician. Yes, sir.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, they do, I mean, their lives just are very different. Like, these are the people, the royalty that no one would really talk to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I gathered some quotes to investigate, if you will. And I feel like this speaks towards their elitism and how it's kind of looked at the elitism now. Mm-hmm. This first one is from Aristotle, book 9 of Nicomachean Ethics. And the quote is, a friend to all is a friend to none.
A friend to all is a friend. That's Taylor Swift.
But it is, and it's also an Aristotle quote, everybody. Anyways, yeah. What I kind of got from this was that, is he saying that we have to have, like, no allies and we can't always be nice? Like, how does this contribute to elitism? And I think this attributes to elitism by, he's kind of, like, putting out this, like, power complex and is, like, being a friend to power rather than all of us. Like, you're going to choose power and then being nice to everybody, which I think is, like, I don't know.
I mean, I think that when people say, okay, a little about myself, I am more of an introvert, and so I didn't really have lots and lots and lots of friends, but I have a couple of really good ones, and a couple of really good ones who I've kept in touch with over the years. I mean, obviously with COVID, it's, like, difficult, but I have friends that are my real friends, but then I don't have what clouded people will label friends. And so those are more like acquaintances. And so when I hear like a friend to all, you don't really have good friends. You just have acquaintances. And so because you think that you have lots of these friends, you know lots of these people, it doesn't mean necessarily that you're an elite of society.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. I think the thing that I'm kind of like, it kind of just seems like, oh, don't be nice to That was my cat, everybody. Chanel making an appearance. Yes.
Hello. Yeah, continue.
I think, to me, it just stirs me, or, like, it throws me off just because it's, like, I've always been raised with the moral of, like, being nice to everybody no matter what because you don't know what they're going through. Yeah. I feel like he's kind of just, like, if you're friends with everybody, you're not going to be powerful. So, you know what? Don't be powerful and have lots of friends, or be powerful and have very few friends. Yeah. So, I don't know. That's what kind of I got from it. He also said, democracy is when the indigent, and not the men of property, are the rulers. And so to me, this is like his defining quote of being like an anti-democracy type person. Because mm-hmm. by the way, all these people were like super anti-democracy, which again, I think can speak to their elitism. But then that made me like realize is like, why do they hate democracy so much? And then I was like, wait, they hate democracy because they know that can tear down their status quo, and that doesn't reinforce the status quo of them having all this power and controlling people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
But their explanation for it in the books, and the, I believe it was like the Nicomachean Ethics, was the fact that democracy allowed citizens to go with their gut impulses rather than actually doing good or what they thought is good. Mm-hmm. Democracies don't allow voices to be heard by the citizens, which is so weird to me because I feel like a democracy literally is supposed to help you hear your voice. It's supposed to get everybody's fair share of opinion. And they were like, no, absolutely not. Democracies? Heck no. You're not going to be able to speak your mind, to vouch for anything. Which again, just feeds back into the thing that's like, they just want like a power structure so they can continue ruling everybody and telling everybody how to live their life, and that they're like the best at teaching, blah blah blah.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, that makes total sense. And also, like, the hypocrisy of it is what makes people upset, but also like the no one really cares.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it doesn't make you angry, you're fine with it.
Yeah, I think the thing that really triggers me though is the fact that they were so authoritarian, kind of. Because they were like, I know what's best because I'm a philosopher and I have education. First of all, that's classist as heck.
Yeah.
And second of all, like, just because you have an education, yes, sure, you might be qualified, but there's so much outlets online, like, especially on YouTube and Google, that you can learn so much about, right? And again, some people back in the day, they couldn't get like an education because they weren't wealthy. So it's so unfair to put those people at a disadvantage. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it discriminates against like that whole entire group of people that weren't born into wealth and weren't born into education circumstances. Their parents weren't doctors. Their parents weren't like teachers or professors. It's just very classist.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
Yeah, no, I just think that the reason they hated democracy was because it was a technique to sustain the status quo and the power structure they implemented by their exclusivity, whether in schools or anything, to be honest. And we have to remember that these people, like Aristotle, Plato, and Socrates, they were aristocrats. They supported, like, aristocracy, I think that's how you say it. The worthy and the best rule is what they thought. But again, who makes somebody worthy? They decide that. And I think that's super unfair because I feel like the general public should decide that, since that's way more fair than like five philosophers being like, you know what? Because you were taught under us and you're going to teach the agenda that we tell you to teach. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like this power structure.
No, I agree with you. Because also, like, I think even now in public schools, like, you will have a biased... You have a biased objective based on the funding. Like, if you are a private school, you can teach what you want to. And if you're, you know, one that believes in certain values, you'll exclude the other. And when that comes to education, you have to start teaching the entire narrative. Because if you don't, the kids will grow up being biased. And it's a snowball effect, really.
Yeah, they stem to go away from progressivism a lot of the time. Private schools do, at least.
Yeah.
And again, like, I don't think history is that accurate, because again, who writes history? The winners. I just think that when you're talking about funding too, it's like private schools, they're not private schools, public schools are so underfunded. It's scary. Right. Like, it's really scary. As a person who went to a public school, mm-hmm. and I went to like a pretty known public school, it was incredibly underfunded, and it was super obvious that there was like this power structure almost, but there was not even enough money for like basic facilities.
Yeah, and I mean, because I went to a private school, which every year costed more than the average college tuition, which is kind of ridiculous, but I think we remained unbiased about a lot of things, but for Judaism-related stuff, mm-hmm. we never learned about the Palestinian side. Like, we never learned about Christianity, mm-hmm. which I think is obviously the point of a Jewish school, but...
Yeah, I was gonna say, I was like...
It's the point of a Jewish school, but, like, I would have liked to know about other cultures and other religions other than my own.
No, 100%. Yeah, also with that quote that I just said, it kind of sounds familiar to, like, the big corporations and, like, the elitists that, like, think they're the best. They're like, you know what? We know what's best for you.
Yeah.
Amazon knows what's best for you because we actually control the algorithm on your phone. You want a face wash? Coincidence ad for face wash. I guarantee you, like, you're going to get an ad for face wash
I
now.
I know. I'm kind of...
Your FBI agent already knows.
Ready for it.
One that I actually do agree with Aristotle... is this quote, and it's, we make war that we may live in peace. And I feel like that's super relevant to any time of history. You have to really fight for your values. You have to fight for justice. And you have to make this, like, hectic war. So then you can have a chance of freedom, liberty, whatever you want to have, like, a kind of a peaceful moment. Mm-hmm. And that's one that I actually do agree with. I feel like... Here's the thing is, although they were elitists, they did say some very wise things, some very morally right things that I do agree with. Plato also wrote down a quote that I agree with too. A good decision is based on knowledge and not on numbers.
A good decision is based on knowledge and not numbers. I like that.
I feel like that's very... Here's the thing. I feel like they thought they were super, super, like, wise. Because these, like, seem like... they seem so basic to me. But I guess the reason they seem so basic is because they were the first ones to really grasp at Western philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Again, here's my only problem with that is, who are you getting the knowledge from? Is, like, are you getting the knowledge from...
Ew.
The elitist? Like, the Plato? Because if that's... Because they're probably teaching some very biased stuff. Mm-hmm. Personally thinking.
Yeah, but I mean, I think most education is biased.
For sure, because all of our, like, everything that we kind of learn has been written by winners, because losers don't write history. And I don't mean that in, like, in a mean way at all, but it's like, hear about more so the victories rather than the losses.
Mm-hmm.
This is one that I do not agree with. I agree with, but I also don't agree with, the measure of a man is what he does with power.
I kind of like, I mean, I think it's true. Have you heard of the Stanford Prison Experiment?
Yeah.
Okay, so I learned about it in my psych class this morning, actually.
Wow.
Basically, there's a study in Stanford where they made, like, a prison, and they did... like, a random selection of prison guards and prisoners, and they had to live through the role. And so, essentially, it began as a joke, like, oh, you can't tell me what to do, and then when the prisoners rebelled, the guards started to act on it, and they became kind of sadistic, and so they had to, like finish it after 6 days, because it started to psychologically affect people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, when I think of, like, an elitist, I thought of the prison guards, but at the same time, when this quote talked about power, the prisoners also had the power to stand up for themselves. And so, even now, like, experiments like those happen all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's up to you to decide what kind of, how you're gonna deal with the power that you're given, And as Americans, we're given lots of free will to change legislation based on your ranking in society or, you know, the political friends you have. But
yeah, I wouldn't say your ranking in society. I feel like that's, like, a little bit... I would say more so, like...
What I meant to say
your
is, like...
Position and power. There we go.
And so, like, if that... like, that will give you a ranking. Like, if you're in Saudi Arabia, there's no voting involved.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't... You can't stand up for yourself. Like, if you're gay, they literally stone you to death.
Yeah, which is disgusting. But I think that what's really good is that we kind of proved with this election that our voices can be heard.
Exactly.
Like, if we really all go out and we vote, then our candidate can win. And I feel like that was super dismissed in previous years. But what I want to say about this quote is that, although this seems very authoritarian, you're right. That if that power is used for good, such as, like, what Biden's doing now, like, that's...
Standing up for yourself.
Yeah, standing up for your, like, standing up for people's rights and, like, a wide majority of rights, then that is good. But, again, if you, like, don't do well with that power, then I'm gonna have an issue there.
Yeah, I agree with you.
He also said, excellence is not a gift, but a skill that takes practice. We do not act rightly because we are excellent. In fact, we achieve excellence by acting rightly. My problem, again, is who is measuring righteous actions? Like, is it the people in power saying, oh, you're doing good, great, sweetie. Like, this is you. Like, we taught you how to do this, and now you're doing good. Like, to me, that just sounds, again, super elitist.
Yeah.
And I think this should be variable because different people are going to measure your righteous acts differently. Like, obviously, like, some people on the right are gonna have different values, shittier values, than the people on the left, right?
Yeah.
In my opinion.
No, I agree with you. And I think it's everyone thinks very differently
mm-hmm.
about everything. And it really just depends on...
Yeah, no, it just depends on the person. I feel like they're just making these, like, whole assumptions that the people in power will know what's best for you. And I've never really liked that because I feel like, again, the people in power have, like, an agenda to keep in power and keep status quo.
Yeah.
He also said, I am the wisest man alive, for I know one thing, and that is I know nothing.
That's also very true.
That's so true, because even I've been alive, and I feel like I do know stuff in, like, anthropology or, you know, say, philosophy, but it's, like, looking at that, I know only fragments of that. Like, the world is so big, the knowledge is so extensive,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And also, I think I said this in another podcast, but once we start to know more... we obviously start to know less. Like, the more we expand our knowledge, the less we actually
That's
know.
So true, because you realize how big that subject is, whatever. Yeah.
And you can't... The thing is, like, no human on this earth can know every single thing ever.
True, yeah. Well, that'd be impossible.
Yeah, that's it just would be impossible.
His events and stuff, right? I love that quote. Out of all my quotes that I've ever read, that one's probably my favorite. I honestly might... put that in my Instagram bio. Like, low-key.
But also, if you want to become an expert in something, you have to work for it. You can't
yeah,
give
100%.
It.
She's not vibing. She's so cute, but she's just not vibing.
Yeah.
Last quote is, an honest man is always a child.
Interesting.
Because that to me is like, you grow up in this world and you become toxic and you become more, like, less truthful because... you know how to get around life, and I don't know, like, I feel like that one's, like, super, super true.
Yeah. I mean, I really, that's kind of interesting, makes you think about it. I think it also, I feel like it has to do something with ignorance.
Yeah!
Because an honest man, like, if you are honest with yourself, I don't know if you're necessarily a child, like, I don't know if that's...
I feel like, though, like, he's just trying to say that, like, when you're young, you're honest... But when you're older,
when,
like...
When you get to the world, it's an awful place.
It's an awful place, and you start to, like, lie and stuff. Or not even lie, but, like...
No, and, like, cheat, lie,
cheat,
like...
lie, yeah. Because you see how much garbage there is in the world, and you see people doing those actions, so you're like, oh, I can get away with this. Let me do the exact same thing.
That's kind of interesting. Interesting thing about.
Like, you grow toxic. Especially, like, I feel like that is so perfect for 2020, 2021, and the years continuing on, because it's so easy to, like, lie behind a screen. Because who's going to fact check you, right? Like, who's going to... Or even this could stem in, like, the place of, like, spreading hate on, like, social media. Yeah. Because who is going to, like, take their time to, like, go to your account and really, like, figure out who you are? And you can start an account in, like, 30 seconds, right?
Yeah, but also, have you seen those videos of people, like, face changing?
Oh, like the Charli D'Amelio one?
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's crazy, yeah. Because
you
yeah.
can literally, you can, with this technology now, you can say something as another human and no one will debate it because exactly. of the video. How yeah. can you change a video? Mm-hmm. But now actual footage is being edited so you can be a fraud.
Exactly. That's to me is crazy. Good. Yeah. No. I think that's all we have for today. But thank you for listening. If you've made it this far, send us ideas on Instagram. Yeah. And we will talk to you later.
Bye, guys.
Bye. From me and Hannah.
Stay
and the
tuned
cat.
For next Tuesday where we.
Or next Wednesday. Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. I was like, what day is today?
Good question. Okay. Bye.
Bye.